This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Sherrod Kutten, with me Brian Fernandez and Tan Chung Han. And more business news for you. Now, we've been having many conversations in the past few weeks about the changes in shareholdings at banks. Now, it looks like this is also is true of the insurance industry. Industry sources said that overseas insurers are pursuing plans to sell stakes in their Malaysian units in deals that could raise as much as 9 billion ringgit to help them comply with foreign ownership limits. Han, what do we have on this?
All right, so according to this Bloomberg report that has been widely republished in other local media dailies as well, or business sections at least, the likes of Prudential, Singapore's Great Eastern, and also Tokio Marine. These are some of the names that have been mentioned in this report, talking about how they might pare down their stake in their Malaysian units here. And according to people familiar with the matter, you know, Bank Negara says they might enforce a cap of about 70%. 70%, that's how much these foreign insurers can own in their Malaysian units, perhaps by June 2018. Although Bank Negara has not responded to those reports so far.
Brian, well, if you talk about other foreign insurers that are actually listed in Malaysia, we have Allianz Malaysia, which is listed here, Manulife as well.
Also, we have recently had on the grill Anthony Lee, chairman of General Insurance Association of Malaysia, and he tells us about what he feels about the balance between foreign and local participation in the Malaysian insurance industry.
A mix is always healthy. I think, you know, I don't think, you know, foreign, there's always a perception that foreign players are just here for the good times and not for the bad times. But I think plenty of insurance companies that have been here for a very long time that have actually helped build the industry, right? So if you look at a lot of the talent, and quite a few of the CEOs of foreign or senior people in the foreign and then the local companies were trained by the foreign companies before. So, I mean, I would say it's important to have an ecosystem there. And insurance is something that is beyond a country boundary. I'll give you an example. I mean, earthquakes, for example, I was just down in Christchurch and, you know, billions were paid out in claims. And I don't think few local players could never have insured that kind of risk to that level. So it needs to be a global, pool that funds that.
That was Anthony Lee, chairman of the General Insurance Association of Malaysia.
Yeah, and in trying to find a balance between the foreign and local participation in the Malaysian insurance space, you know, Anthony raises a few good points there. You know, on one hand, you have the kind of diversity and also the breadth in terms of the capital pool to mitigate the kind of risks that are needed in the insurance space, right? So how do you find that balance versus, say, here in the domestic space, being accommodative of local players, being able to really spread their wings and really gain a larger market share. Also, when it comes to the central bank, they have spoken about how they want the hiring of more Malaysians for these highly skilled jobs that are necessary in the insurance space. And also trying to create products that are more unique to really meet the local demands here. So there are all these push-pull factors here that have to go into consideration when we discuss, you know, really is 70% enough, you know, when it comes to limiting the foreign ownership of insurance players here.
I think, again, it's a question of when you have foreign participation really in any sort of industry, you talk about the foreigners, in this case, obviously, diversifying, bringing in diversity of risk. Mm. The second thing is you actually bring in expertise and innovation. That's a very, very important thing that you bring in. You are able to leverage on best practices. Thirdly, in terms of the whole Bank Negara agenda, it is also about increasing Malaysian participation in the industry. Mm. Now, that 30% could be for mom-and-pop investors like you and me, but also institutional investors as well. So we participate really in the growth story of the insurance industry. We are still pretty much an under-insured market. Although we are growing at a very large, very rapid rate in the last couple of years, in 2001, I think we were doing 33%, Han?
Yeah, 33% penetration rate. That's for life insurance and I believe family takaful policies as well. So 33% in 2001, up to about the mid-50s over the last 3 years or so. But here's the thing. It has remained stagnant at that level, according to Bank Negara. It's remained at those stagnant levels for the last 3 years or so. So whether or not that increased local participation by local industry players can really be that catalyst to spark more insurance coverage, formulations as a whole. But essentially going back to Central Bank Governor Muhammad Ibrahim's call or rally cry, really, is for these foreign insurers to, quote, justify their presence here in Malaysia.
Now, if you talk about justifying the presence and innovation, I think one of the key things, and obviously it's driven by Bank Negara's need for liberalization of the insurance industry, and we've just recently started initial de-tarification of motor insurance. Mm. If you talk about innovation, we can use an example, for example, of AXA Affin Insurance introducing Malaysia's first telematics-based insurance, motor insurance. What that essentially means in English is the fact that it's an app-based or device-based products, depending on their different products. And you are rewarded as a policyholder if the data shows that you are a lower risk. So if you drive more responsibly, you have less accidents, you keep within the speed limits, that sort of translates back to your lower premiums in for you to pay and so savings in your pocket. So that's one sort of innovation. The other thing is BFM was just invited earlier this week to the Allianz Asia Pacific's roundtable, where the regional CEO George Sarotel and the Malaysia CEO Zakri Mohamad Her talked about how Allianz was using Malaysia as a test bed and an innovation center to roll out products and services not only for ASEAN but around the world, really in terms of usage-based insurance, micro-insurance policies, all of which are really because of the innovations that are coming out of big data and other insurtech initiatives.
That's right. So with that kind of innovation, when you see with AXA, Affin, and also Allianz, it makes you wonder, though, is this driven by the big boys out there, AXA and also Allianz Global, versus the local guys? In other words, can the local guys actually pull this off if it wasn't for the expertise that they're getting from AXA, Allianz, and basically everyone else out there, right? So that's going to be the balance that not just the central bank, but the industry players have to consider when moving forward with this this kind of liberalizing of the insurance space.
Well, that sounds very exciting because there are tough times for other segments of the economy. Startup based shipbuilder Nam Cheong announced yesterday that it will be temporarily ceasing all debt repayments. This includes a coupon payment due this Sunday, the 23rd of July, on a $75 million Sing dollar or bond, while it attempts to work out a debt restructuring plan with its creditors. Brian, what do we know what's happening at Nam Cheong?
So first of all, Nam Cheong is a Sarawak-based but Singapore-listed Malaysian shipping company. It's a leading provider of offshore marine groups, building of offshore support vessels for the oil and gas business. And that makes up about 90% of their revenue. Symbolic of tough times within the industry, they have been recording steep losses and yesterday announced that they will not be making any payments on their bonds. They have a total of 1.84 billion outstanding bonds at this point of time. And PwC have been appointed as an advisor to restructure the company.
Yeah, and these guys are the latest in a string of other oil and gas players who have run into these cash flow problems. You got Swiber, Swisco, Ezra as well, all having, basically run into various forms of financial problems as well. In fact, since 2015, I'm just referring to this number in the Bloomberg article here. Since 2015, companies have... well, basically defaulted on over $1.35 billion worth of defaults in Singapore's bond market since late 2015. So you have those kind of numbers here, and it's at an alarming rate. On top of that, you've got comments from Todd Schubert, who is the head of fixed income research at the Bank of Singapore, and he says this, and I quote, "We could certainly see more defaults as the weaker players are forced out of the market as it moves towards equilibrium." So with that kind of turmoil in the oil and gas space in Singapore affecting the Singaporean financial system, one has to wonder how exposed are Malaysian banks to this space as well.
So actually, this is we can link this to Wan Zulkifli, the CEO of Petronas, call for more consolidation within the oil and gas business in Malaysia. Financially, many of the players are suffering. We have according to him, 3,700 players in the sector. And comparatively, Norway, which is a similar size of a market, has only 700 players. So lots of consolidations then necessary for a healthier industry.
Okay, we're coming up to the top of the hour and then the news. After that, we'll have the opening numbers on the stock market and more analysis. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.